Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sat Dial, Managing Director of Technology at Edelman. Integrating new technologies into businesses and workplaces can be a tricky balance between staying ahead of the curve and maintaining your stakeholders' trust. That's why the National Association of Corporate Directors focused this year's Blue Ribbon Commission report on helping corporate boards navigate the promise of technology and data-driven innovation. And today, I'm happy to be joined by the co-chairs of that commission, Nora Denzel and David Kenny. Nora is the lead independent director of AMD and a board member of Gen Digital. David is the former CEO of Digitas, Nielsen, and The Weather Company, and chair of Best Buy Board Directors. Nora and David, welcome to The Trustmakers. Tell the listeners more about your experiences in the C-suite and how you made your way into leadership positions on corporate boards.
Sure. Thanks, Seth. I started my career as a software engineer, and I was in the data area in data storage and analytics. So I've been on the cover of Storage magazine, in case some of your listeners have the issue. I worked in technology as an operator for 30 years in Silicon Valley at four different companies, HP, IBM, Intuit, and then a late stage startup called Legato. And then I transitioned more to a coach rather than the player. And I've been a full-time board director for over the past 10 years.
My career has been very much about applying data to make better decisions. First, in the advertising space, the first company I started was called Digitas. It was a public company for several years until it was acquired by Publicis. I then moved on to Weather, where I learned a lot about models and machine learning. And the Weather Company was ultimately bought by IBM as a part of the Watson business. And I ran the Watson AI platform for IBM for a few years until being recruited away to the job I just left, which is Nielsen, where I was the CEO and now the executive chairman. So those are the companies I've led. At the same time, I've been asked to be on boards throughout that period. First corporate executive board, then Yahoo, Akamai, and now Best Buy.
Wow, incredible experiences. So, you know, you two have been co-chairing this year's National Association of Corporate Directors Blue Ribbon Commission report. It's focused on how boards can lead on integrating technologies in companies and workplaces. Why did you feel like such an important focus this year? And what made you want to lead on it?
Well, all the members of NACD had input into what the topic would be, and then they sought us out to lead the commission. I thought it was a great way to learn because there were so many directors from so many different boards who formed the commission. So those, you know, three dozen or so directors really brought a range of different experiences. I also thought it was important this year because we were in a hype cycle around AI. But as I mentioned across my boards, there was one year it was all the metaverse. The next year it was all blockchain. Before that it was Y2K. Then it was cybersecurity. There's always a hot technology topic. And I thought it would be really helpful for boards to have some principles that they could use across different tech cycles. Because the one thing I know for sure is after AI will come quantum. There will be another range of computing progress from there. And we need to make sure that we can steward companies through all of those cycles.
Nora, I mean, I'm sure through your experiences, some of this will ring true as well. Was there a particular area that drew you to the report itself?
Similar to David, and I think coming from the software side, having the ability to have a natural language as the programming language, it just means that so many more people are going to be using technology. It used to be in the back office and only a chosen few. It was very esoteric and it was very difficult. But when you wrap petabytes of data with human language and the ability to, you know, all of us can be data scientists. So it's very not often a general purpose technology comes along. So AI is kind of the heart of it. But as David mentioned, you know, you've got 5G, AR, VR, blockchain. It's the convergence wrapped in human language that's going to be a Cambrian explosion of technology that we won't remember how we worked before, you know, in about 5 years.
I think I'm finding the same already from my work with some of the generative AI out there, for sure. I very much agree. But Nora, turning back to you, based on your experience and what you found in this report, From your perspective, what are the most critical risks for boards to consider when dealing with transformative technologies such as AI and others that David mentioned?
If I zoom out, boards tend to be fantastic at risk, and they should be, because governing risk is one of our cornerstones. And so we have a plethora of people dying to get in the boardroom to coach us on what are the risks of technology, outages, model drift, data that gets contaminated. And so we're pretty much a risk industrial complex, and we can manage any risks. Sometimes, and David was great at penning this first, was that the biggest technology risk you can take now is to not take one. We try to balance the report. First, it's not all about AI. It's about technology. So this is an evergreen report for all the technology that's seeping into your businesses. And second, we believe that now is the time that you're going to have to experiment your way through, you know, new business models, disintermediation, new ways to work. And the board needs to be a sounding board and also a catalyst for this inside of companies, or we risk extinction. So I think that's the biggest risk, is not taking the risk.
Yeah, I can certainly hear you on that one. I think there's opportunity on the table, and the role of boards and governance is to ensure that we're maximizing that in every avenue. David, through the report, you came up with 10 recommendations for technology leadership in the boardroom. Those recommendations fall into three categories: strengthen oversight, deepen insight, develop foresight. Can you talk to us through these buckets of recommendations?
Well, thanks for reading the report, and I hope people will do that so I don't have to go through all 10. But the three categories really do help define it. I'm actually going to start with the third on develop foresight, because we felt this was the least developed by most boards. A lot of boards have their members selected because of their expertise. So people come knowing something. In fact, they know it all about their particular topic. And with technology, you need to move from being a know-it-all to a learn-it-all. And you know, the recommendations have a lot to do with how individual directors and the board as a whole can stay current. Part of that is making sure you're rotating your directors, that you're bringing in fresh thinking. But it's also about making sure that every director commit themselves to learning more. Nora and I are both fans of Coursera. And going on to Coursera, taking a prompt engineering course is just one example of how a director can stay current and have foresight about what they haven't even seen yet. The deepen insight recommendations are making sure that every function look at how technology can change it, whether that be the supply chain or accounting and law or HR or the way you reach consumers. So making sure every aspect of the board agenda has a technology component. While some boards choose to have a technology committee to understand what's possible, that can never substitute from the entire board really having insight about how technology can change the way the business operates. And then finally, on oversight, again, that's the part we do well today. That's risk management. In this particular case, the risk you do want to manage are related to trust, making sure that your customers feel that they can trust you with their data, that you're not going to misuse it. And they also can trust that the answers you're giving them, even if they're generated through AI, are truthful, they're based on fact, and they can rely on them. Because once you've violated trust, you've misused data, or you've given a false answer, it's really hard to walk that back.
Nora, the Edelman 2024 Trust Barometer was focused on the state of trust in innovation. In that, we found that AI is at a crossroads. About half of people accept versus reject this innovation. Through your work on boards, what are some of the curiosities and fears about AI that you've seen?
First of all, I 100% agree with your data. I think science fiction didn't help us in this world. So you see a lot of doom and gloom and robots taking over, et cetera. And so there's newspaper articles about this is going to be the destruction of humanity as we know it. So that's one set of fears. Another fear comes from people don't understand how it works. And to be fair to those people, the AI models will just develop new techniques that the founders of it didn't even realize. We call those emergent things that come out. So it's more of a discovery than an invention in my mind, meaning that they discovered all these things and now they're trying to reverse engineer and figure out how it works, versus an invention where you decide I'm going to use metal and steam, et cetera, and I'm going to invent the steam engine. This is something that no one, even some of the people working on it, didn't know and just hoped it would work. And then when it did work, they're trying now to re-engineer to figure out how. So a lot of the regulation isn't in yet. So people might not trust the technology because they feel there's no backstop. So if you think about electricity in the early days, there were people that died and factories would generate their own electricity. But now when you plug something in the wall, you don't think about it because it, you know, it's got standards and regulations. You can't have an appliance that's going to combust and, you know, just burst into flames. So I think that it's not well understood. Science fiction didn't help us. The doomsday sayers, and that always happens when there's new technology, they're not helping either. So I think that trust is going to be paramount. The other thing is there's a plethora of new companies and you don't know who they are. So you do know Apple, you know IBM, you know Microsoft, you already have a level of trust, but there's a whole swath of companies you've never heard of.
On one side, what we've seen over the past 5 years as innovation in AI has accelerated, trust in AI companies has declined. And I think this potentially speaks to some of these wider challenges that you mentioned. And on the other side, we've seen that 59% of the public globally believe that governments lack an understanding of emerging technologies in order to regulate them effectively. You know, given the pace of change that we hear of so much accelerating right now, is there a point where we feel the role of businesses, let's say, to be involved in helping allay some of these concerns versus purely just the government? Do others have a role here as well?
I'd love to start with that. I do believe the technology is advancing faster than government can keep up. And it's accelerating at a faster pace than ever before. That does put a real burden on businesses to self-govern. I think it's really important to establish your principles or your constitution, if you will, about what are your guidelines, what are your principles on the data behind AI, how it's used, how it is not used, so that you can be transparent about that and hold yourself accountable. Then you have to measure it and you've got to report back. As you do with your financial results, you now need to do with your data results. And I think this is doable and can build trust. And eventually there can be a partnership with regulators to make the rules more common across companies. But I think if we wait for something to go wrong and then regulation to catch up, it's really going to set back the field. So we certainly, in our work, encourage people to build self-governance principles. And that's a board topic.
I agree with that. And I also think that regulations have to lag. Because the right regulation at the wrong time is the wrong regulation, meaning we probably wouldn't have the airline industry. So I think it has to lag, especially coming from the U.S. If you try to regulate way too early, you might miss some innovation. And so I think that David's absolutely right. We're going to have to self-regulate. And the way we do it governance-wise is say, look, if anyone ever discovered what happened here and it was on the front page of the paper, how would we feel as a company? And so we just use kind of our own morals and ethics to do self-regulation until the regulation comes in.
Yeah, I mean, the pace at which boards have to move obviously dictates some of the time that it takes for these things to come in as well. Do you have any watch outs for, you know, board leaders right now about how they should be at least at a very high level thinking about how to plan ahead given that the pace of change is happening so quickly?
Well, I would say one thing, back to the comments at the top of this discussion, understanding that technologies will continue to evolve. When a lot of people talk about large language models, they were excited about the breakthroughs of GPT or generative pre-trained transfer models. Those have kind of hit a little bit of a plateau. The new innovations are really around reasoning models. And so really moving from inductive reasoning to deductive and even abductive reasoning, that's when you really start to develop new insights. That's when you start to see creativity. We've just scratched the surface on reasoning. And I think it's important to understand what's going to come in the next models on the AI front. I also think there's going to be a lot of innovation in compute and storage and network, all of which make this run faster, all of which make this work through the Internet of Things so that many more things are automated. So making sure that you've got a broad perspective, I think is really important to be able to develop that foresight. You can't stay with what technology was launched last week. You've got to be focused on what technology is going to be launched next week.
Our thesis in the commission report is it's very hard to govern things you don't understand. And unlike the physical world where you can go visit a factory and you can touch and feel things, this is the digital world where a lot of it seems magical to people. So what we say on the oversight part is you need to evaluate your board and director technology proficiency or aptitude. And we believe you should have what I call air-to-ground coverage on technology going forward. And what I mean by that, we have that today on boards and financials. So we'll have two or three people on the board that are ex-CFOs, that are CPAs, et cetera. And when we go down an avenue on heavily financing, maybe we're doing M&A transaction or something big with finance, those people can get to the first order, second order, third order, fourth order questions that really make, you know, pressure test management. What we're seeing in a lot of boardrooms is they can't do that on technology. So everybody can ask, you know, what are the risks? What did you consider? What are the alternatives? And then they can't do the second order question. This used to be how cyber was 10 years ago. And I'm seeing that on the new AI and the models now. So we think you should have ground to air coverage and take a look at your composition to make sure that, you know, as David said, some people have a proficiency and an aptitude. They learn faster because of their background. I definitely noticed that in the pandemic, those with biology backgrounds understood antibodies and all those things quicker than people that really kind of zoned out in those classes.
One of the insights that we had from this year's Trust Barometer as well was as it related to those working in the tech sector. So employees of tech firms naturally having high degrees of trust in the technology, be it AI, you know, be it wider emerging innovations. Equally, what we found was that they're probably amongst the most hardest on leadership in terms of how technology is being deployed. Is it ethical? Are we talking on issues around worker displacement? Is there anything that you feel non-technology companies can learn from technology companies?
What I've seen in the technology companies of which I'm associated, we started with a statement of principles and ethics that we had the employees help create, as well as we use things like the World Economic Forum and NIST and other agencies to help us codify it. And we talk about it openly of, you know, we don't think it'll displace jobs. We think it will augment jobs. And should it displace, we have all this training to get your aptitude up that you can actually switch areas. So we kind of have an upfront contract with them of the ethics that we'll deploy, such as we'll disclose we're using AI, you know, in evaluation tools, et cetera. It's something that allays the fears of the employees.
In previous studies as well, what we found is how you talk about the technology externally is as important as it is internally. And where there's a disconnect, actually, that's where some of the trust challenges can exist. So if you have a extremely upbeat message, let's say, externally, but downbeat internally, people start to make questions. Is that something else that you might have found as well?
I certainly believe you need to have integrity. What you believe, what you say, and what you do are exactly the same. And in this world where so many things are transparent and technology has every customer, every citizen knowing what's going on, you've absolutely got to practice that.
Just a quick turn back to the people's attitude. So what we found is that people will be more positive about the role of AI if they could be more easily convinced of its benefits to themselves. So rather than the company as a whole, actually very personal benefits. And then beyond that, into society, so they can better understand how it works. Does this align to what you've noticed? So this, on one side, what it's personal to me, on the other side, how it benefits society.
It's somewhat true. I actually think trust builds through experience. So when people are using it and they see that it helped them make a better decision, that it gave them an accurate answer, that they could validate that with other things they know, then they begin to trust it and it just becomes part of the way we work. We all remember voice assistants. The early days of Siri and Alexa were hard for people because it didn't have enough answers. It got smarter over time and people got used to it. And now it's just part of everyday life for so many folks. And you know, I think this will happen with driverless cars. This will happen with the way that our devices work. It'll happen with the way our homes get smarter. So I honestly think what's important is that you begin to get little experiences that get more complex over time and people get used to it through experience. I think that's really the best way to build trust, is people see that what it did for them, not just what it's promising.
And just picking up on that, Nora, so in terms of the ways that companies can better explain the positives of AI to their employees, consumers, or even shareholders, any reflections there?
What makes this general purpose technology different from the internet is the experience we've had, especially with social media. So the last time we had a general purpose technology, people espoused having social networks and we were going to have a town square and life as we know it is going to be fantastic. And now we're realizing that maybe exposure to social media before 16 years old might not be something that's conducive to mental health. And we're seeing laws now being passed in Australia, for example, that you can't use them until you're at least 16. So there's a lot more skepticism this time around than I felt there was the time around with the internet. And so addressing it, I think we're much more clear, much more clarity, have a lot more open discussions inside the companies, and try to learn from the past of under-promising and over-delivering the message, because there's not much credibility on the technology side, I believe, based on what happened with social media, that it just kind of got out of control and isn't really healthy in all parts of society as it was promised.
David, coming back to you, you mentioned earlier on about the importance of data privacy. What was quite interesting from our trust barometer was when we went out into field, we asked a bunch of questions around, you know, potential concerns that people may have about the adoption, deployment of this technology. The highest concerning area for most people came down to how AI could compromise their privacy. Can you give us any thoughts, or I'm curious to understand your thoughts on this?
It actually tells me that people are gaining a basic understanding of how these models work. And so their understanding is, as AI evolves, and then I think as computing evolves, like quantum, it's just going to be so easy to unwind a digital trail. And we're all leaving digital trails. And that means, you know, virtually everything in our lives will be transparent to everyone else. And that's not necessarily the way people want to live their lives. And when I say, nor should they. So I think it's right that they're concerned, and I think they want to make sure the tech doesn't go so fast that it cracks the code before there's new tools to protect privacy.
That makes sense. Conversely, and turning to you, Nora, just added just another quick question on that, because, you know, for me, to your point, you mentioned earlier on this as a general purpose technology and the potential of AI in terms of the way that we can use it for productivity. Personally, I think the more of our data, the more of our identity that is almost understood by the AI, the better it becomes as a tool for productivity. It wraps itself around you, understands your needs, behaviors, your knowledge, how to take it. How do we reconcile that with this very wide and cognizant understanding of data privacy?
Yeah, you know, there's a balance. Since the early days of compute, we envisioned an assistant for you that knows your needs and knows what kind of restaurants you like and knows what you want in a hotel room and everything. It's wonderful to have someone with you 24/7 that never gets tired and you don't have to pay necessarily and they don't get cranky. But on the other hand, the balance is they have to know more about you than you probably know yourself. You know, you might think you exercise every day and it probably knows that you don't. So there definitely is a balance. So I used to have big data at Intuit and we had 50 million customers, and we realized we were selling trust because we had their most intimate secrets. We understood their credit card patterns. We understood their tax implications. And those were very, very private things. And we knew that one breach would destroy years and years and years of trust. And so we bent over backwards to have a stewardship model that said, we're going to communicate to you in a language that everyone can understand, that isn't 17 pages long with small print that you just press. And anytime we're going to use your data, we are going to spell it out to you. And I think I'm seeing that now is the brands that have trust, such as Apple, they're embedding the technologies in it and putting it in the umbrella of the Apple trust mechanism. And that way you know, if you trust Apple now, you trust that Apple vetted this for you. And I think that those with existing brands on trust don't want to breach it. I think the newer brands will have more difficulty because they are unknown. And again, because of the last general purpose technology, when the horse got out of the barn, people are now starting to understand the negative value of having all your secrets out on the internet.
And I want to just put one question, a final question to both of you. From what you saw in the report, what reasons should boards be excited for the introduction of technology?
I think that the chance to serve customers better, because you can know them better, because you can personalize your offering to them, because you can get things cheaper, faster, smarter, more effective to them, is going to really help. I think this is a great chance for brands that have a strong technology strategy to just bring a lot more value to their customers. And that's going to create value for shareholders as a result.
Absolutely. I think that just like we couldn't envision Uber and Airbnb, et cetera, as we got faster cellular technology and better cell phones, we haven't even scratched the surface of what's available in this next wave. That's probably the most significant wave we've had in the last 50 years. To me, it's all frictionless technology, meaning that even in the boardroom, we would have the technologists come in and present. Now it's just going to be pervasive in all the general managers. Your kids will be able to program using the English language. And so the excitement is things that you didn't believe possible that were bottlenecked behind technology that had a lot of friction. I need a data engineer. I need an MIT graduate. I need all these things. This will open up incredible opportunities to serve customers in new and exciting ways. And we won't imagine how, just like your parents talked about, they remember getting a car and electricity. Your kids will talk about they can't remember it being any different. And so I'm really excited for the future. I honestly think it's underhyped.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have. Nora, David, really appreciate your insights and expertise. That was a thoroughly exciting conversation. Thank you very much. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time. We'll be right back.